Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, and we'll make your presence be known. Joining us now on the line, he is one of the two candidates in the lieutenant gubernatorial runoff. He's facing Wes Allen, our Secretary of State, but former Republican Party Chairman John Wall joined us on the line. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Thanks for making time. Well, just give us sort of your reaction. I think, me speaking, you outperformed expectations. Polling had you down in the 20s, and you eked out. You got 40 points. That's nothing, you know, that's something I think will give you some momentum going into next month.
Yeah, well, look, I think the most important thing is that it sends the people of Alabama send a very clear message. They don't want politics as usual. They don't want, you know, career politicians. They don't want the same old, same old. And that's one thing I think I have a very, you know, if there's one thing voters know about me, it's that I'm not afraid to be a bold conservative. I've been, you know, calling for government to head in that direction for years as state party chairman. You know, I want to see Alabama leading the nation when it comes to conservative principles. I'm unapologetically that outside fighter who wants to go to Montgomery and drain the swamp and actually fight for the people of the state. And I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude, you know, that the people of Alabama, you know, caught onto that message and supported me Tuesday night. It's an incredible feeling.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about it. What stood out to you that, you know, the map, you look at it, certain pockets where there's probably room for improvement. What do you do between now and runoff day?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, outperforming polling by over 10 points is, it says you've kind of been doing the right thing, right? And what I've been doing is very simple. I've been talking to the voters of the state about what we need, about the fact that we want to see government that's constitutionally limited. We want less taxes, less regulations, more freedom, you know, actually make sure that we stand for election integrity, that we stand for immigration reform, and we actually deport criminal illegals. You know, it's all the things that conservatives have believed in for years, but our elected officials let us down. And I think that's the message. That's what the voters are looking for. They're looking for a candidate who's not going to be apologetic, and they're not going to surrender. They're not going to back down to the radical left or even the Republican establishment. They're going to stand for the people and fight. And so I think, look, especially in a low turnout runoff, you want to get to the voters and you talk directly to them. And that's what my campaign has been all about. I'm not in Montgomery with the special interest groups. My money doesn't come from PACs. You know, my money comes from individuals and the businessmen of the state who want to make Alabama better. And I'm proud of that. And we're going to just keep fighting that outsider fight and talking to voters.
Talk a little bit about, you were the Trump endorsed candidate.
That probably didn't hurt. That probably didn't hurt either, by the way.
No, but do you anticipate his involvement in this runoff cycle?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you saw him come through for his endorsed candidates before this election, you know, where he made social media posts about me, about some other candidates. And, you know, did a town hall, a teletown hall for Barry Moore. So absolutely. Like, I think the only question is, how engaged does he get? You know, does he actually come to Alabama? You know, I think there's a chance that that's a possibility. So exciting times. And I think, you know, Donald Trump wants to continue that winning record he has when it comes to his endorsements.
The rest of the ballot, and I know you got your own race, but anything stand up to you? I mean, you are a former chairman of the Republican Party. Turnout wasn't, I mean, it's always kind of low in these cycles, but it wasn't abysmally low.
No, you know, it was actually, a lot of folks were thinking it would actually be lower than it was. So turnout ended up not being super low in comparison with other, you know, midterm primaries. And I think that's good. You know, I always encourage voters to get out. It's so important that if you want to change government, if you want to fight, if you want a government that works for you, you got to get out and vote for the candidates. And so I was actually pleased with the turnout. I mean, obviously, there's always room for improvement there, but especially in some of the key areas of the state. You know, you're talking about regional demographics. I'll tell you right now, Mobile and Baldwin were incredibly good to me in my campaign. You know, they really turned out and voted in a massive way in support of me. And both in turnout, you know, percentage of voters that came out, but also in the percentage that chose to vote for me. And so, yeah, I think it's important. I want to thank your listeners for that too. Like, I'm humbled.
It's all those Tuesday appearances, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Your listeners made it happen. But no, you know, it's one of those things where I think it's incredibly important that we get that engagement, because if we're going to change things, it's through voters actually caring, you know, actually taking the time to research the candidates. And I think we saw more of that this cycle than we have seen in the past. And I think you saw it not just on the top level. You saw it in down ballot races where, you know, where people saw through some of the gaming money from out of state coming in. You know, they saw through different things, and there were a lot of interesting results where I think the electorate is paying more attention than we have seen them pay in the past.
What do you make of the congressional situation? We're qualifying underway for these, for 1, 2, and 6, and 7. But talk a little bit about that. An August 11th special election, right in the middle of your runoff. I never bought the notion that people were confused and they were not going to know, when to vote. I don't think that showed up at all. But there are dueling things for people's attention right now.
There are. And look, you know, it's unfortunate that we were thrown into the situation we were with the redistricting, that the federal courts did. I think, you know, now the Supreme Court is on my side with this, where I've been the whole time, which is that it was absolutely unconstitutional for the federal judges to come in here and force us to redraw our districts, overruling the will of the people's representatives. And, you know, now that we have that ruling, yeah, it's put us in a hard position. We've got to go back quick and hold special elections for these, you know, U.S. House seats. But the record is being corrected. And I have faith in the voters of Alabama to be able to understand this process. You know, other states have been in this position. The people of Alabama will understand it. And it's really not that complicated. Elections continue as normal, except for Congress. And then we'll hold a special election for Congress in August.
Yeah, and then, you know, November comes and goes, and everything is back in cycle. But do you like what the way the governor's going about it here, doing it separate from the runoff?
You know, I think she had to. I think she had to just with the timing. And so I think that is, you know, it's hard. You know, there are time frames in state law when it comes to elections. And I think she has made the best decision she could. Now, I'm going to be honest. I want to come back immediately in the session of 2027 and get our maps to 7-0. There is no reason to wait. There is no reason to compromise. I know Tommy Tuberville has come on that, and I'm firmly in support of him. I'd love to stand lockstep with him as lieutenant governor and make sure we get that across the finish line, and we make sure the people of Alabama have Republican representatives in Washington, D.C. This is a supermajority Republican state, and I think they should have Republican representation. So that's the one thing where I think we do have to come back and correct that. We need a 7-0 map in Alabama, and that's something that I'm definitely going to be strongly in support of.
Yeah, and you know, we expect that sooner rather than later. It's just it gives a legal window here, and having followed this a little bit, but some of these arguments still are in place. The 14th Amendment. They just had to do it this way, but now I guess they don't have to thread two needles with the VRA and a 14th Amendment argument.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back in time, because I think we are past the time frame where we could do 7-0 right now. Could it have been done originally? Possibly, but you know, I don't like to go back and look at the past. I like to be positive and look for the future. And the important thing now is that we get 6-0 in place, make sure we have those elections, we run them properly. And then as soon as legally possible with the time frames and the constrictions, that we do get 7-0. At the end of the day, that's the important thing, is we get the job done.
I'm joined by John Wall here on the program. He's a candidate for lieutenant governor in a runoff contest next month against Wes Allen, the Secretary of State. Issue-wise, tell me this. I mean, is there anything you see that stood out to you? I haven't seen any real exit polling here, but talk about that, you know, lieutenant governor's office and what it does, and in this election, really what worked and what didn't.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there are so many issues and so many things that are important to so many voters, you know, talking, you know, sitting down across the state. And I think the number one is the economy. You know, there are people around the state who are struggling just to put food on the table. You know, they're struggling to make ends meet. And one of my first things I want to do day one is try to not just cut, but let's eliminate the grocery tax. I came out in support of, making the holiday, had a grocery tax holiday, and just like, let's not go back. Like, let's just make this holiday permanent for the people of Alabama. Let's provide some real tax relief. I also definitely want to see Alabama phasing out the state income tax. There is no reason that we don't start this process. If we don't, we're going to be behind other states. Mississippi's already phasing theirs out. That really resonated with a lot of people that I was talking to. And then look, education. I don't think there's a bigger issue facing Alabama right now than our children. And when I talk about education, I'm not just talking about bringing this up so we're not, 49th, 48th. I'm talking about actually getting curriculum that represents the people of Alabama, that represents Alabama families. We got to get the woke garbage out of our classrooms and return to reading, return to educating on reading, writing, arithmetic, history, actually teaching history and civics again. And that's probably, that and the economy are the two biggest issues as I have been talking to voters. And I love that because that's my heart. Like, we have so much potential in the state of Alabama. We just need, leaders who are not going to be afraid to stand up and actually fight for these things we know the people of Alabama believe in.
Well, and you mentioned taxation and the endeavor to end the income tax and be competitive. States that don't have it, obviously with Tennessee and Florida to north and south. Do you have to increase other taxes? You still got to fund the state government. Like, how do you find the right balance here?
I'm not a complete anarchist. Yeah, just no. Look, there is a balance. I think the important thing to remember with the income tax, or it needs to be a three-step plan. The first is we do have some surpluses, and I know there's debate whether those surpluses will continue, but there's no reason to not immediately put those towards phasing out the income tax. The second part to it is we know there's waste in government. Every agency, I'm a big supporter of starting like an Alabama Doge, where we go through and we look at every agency, we look at every department, and we cut any waste in government that we can. That should be the first place government looks to when they're looking at, cutting taxes or phasing out an income tax or something like that. They should look at where can we be more efficient, just like the people of the state have to be more efficient when they have to tighten their belt. So I think that's number two. And if you can start the process with those two, we have seen in other states, as states start to phase out the income tax, the economy grows and more state revenue is brought in. So then you would recycle that in. And the final step, yes, I think there would have to be some replacement. You probably have to raise the sales tax and some other use taxes. But it is something that is possible and I think could be done within the next 6 to 8 years.
Talk about gambling as we head into 2027. I don't see a way that it's not on the table. It seems like it's going to come early. Have you given any thought to that? Based on the election results that we saw Tuesday night, it looks like at best it's a wash, but probably they picked up a vote with Tom Butler's retirement on the gambling side in the Senate, and that's where it's going to be decided. But what do you think that looks like?
Look, I think this is absolutely something that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of years. You see the money spent on it. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is can the gambling interests get themselves on the same page? Because what has aided the conservative side here, in the legislature, has been that traditionally they can. And we see out-of-state gambling interests. We have in-state gambling interests. We have different in-state gambling interests. And I think that this is very likely headed for the legislature, but I am not sure that we're going to see an actual concerted effort because I don't think the outside interest can actually come to an agreement on what a gambling bill would look like that they would all agree on.
Well, and I think all Britain's lost down here. That really complicates things. And I don't know what the response will be, but it does seem like that we're heading in that direction, and just it's going to be something. Am I wrong to think it's going to come early?
No, I think you're definitely on. Look, you don't have this much money in gaming interest being spent if there's not an appetite, or at least someone assumes that it's coming up. And so I think we'll definitely be seeing this on the horizon. I hope it's regular session of 2027 and not a special session. I don't think this is something that warrants calling a special session to do, but we shall see.
John, folks want to find out more about your campaign, more about what they need to know as we start looking at a runoff election, and it becomes a binary choice. How could they do so?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, talking, we'd love to stay in touch with the voters. And so, yeah, check out the issues on the website. We'd be honored to have their consideration for the runoff website on all major social media. John Wall for Lieutenant Governor. And then the website is votejohnwall.com.
Now check it out. John, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Good to be on the show.
All right, let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5.